tuned into Common Ground with Valentine Harris, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to Common Ground, the place where you get real conversations, real connections, and absolutely no filter. Good day, everybody. How are you all doing today? My name is Valentine Harris, and this is another episode of Common Ground, episode number 3. Today, I'm going to do something a little bit different with this show. This young man I met when I was actually in the barbershop. I met him, and then we just struck about a conversation, and so we exchanged numbers. And one day, he ordered a little, he called me and said, "Man, me and my homeboy is actually about to start a car wash. And if Eric me if I need my vehicle wash," and he's like, he just called me like the perfect time. He called me. And I'm like, "Heck yeah." So I said, "Okay, tomorrow I'll be by there." So as they was proceeding to wash and detail my vehicle and everything, which hey, look good by the way, really look really good. We just tracking him like talking. I was actually asking questions, and I was talking about his life. I'm like, "Man, this young man had a very interesting life. I wonder if he'll let me interview him." And I asked him. I'm like, and he's like, "Yes, sir." He's like, "Yes, I'll definitely do that." So without further ado, I want you to introduce, I'm going to introduce Big Bishop. Welcome, brother.
Hey, how you doing today, brother?
I'm doing fine, man. Doing good, man. Yeah. How's everything been, man?
Oh, everything's fine. You know, just holding everything in the road, keeping everything steady, praying to God every day, you know?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. How's the family doing?
The family wonderful, you know, that everybody's staying prayed up, you know, everybody get up and do what they got to do every morning. Yeah,
that's good. Yeah. Prayer is definitely is a good thing, though. You know what I mean? Keep the day going every day.
Yes, sir.
So right now we're going to get actually right into it, okay? Right yes, into the question, if you don't mind. Bishop, tell the people your full name, your first and last name, if you don't mind, where are you from? Where were you born?
My first name is VG Laurent, but they call me VJ. It's VJ okay. Laurent. I was born in Dominica La Plaine, the Caribbean Islands.
Dominica La Plaine. Well, that sounds kind of fancy right there. La Plaine.
Yeah, La Plaine. Yeah. You know, I come from French descent.
Okay, okay.
You know, a lot of my family speaks French.
Gotcha. So tell me about your childhood, man. Growing up in Dominica, man. How was the childhood there?
The childhood was wonderful. You know, everything was like free. It was like, you know, you lived your best life. You know, somebody you picked your fruits, you ran, ran around, you jumped in the pools, you played in the rivers. You know, somebody all the fruits grow wild. It felt free back home.
Okay.
You know, I didn't experience no racism when I was back home, you know?
Gotcha. Yes, sir. Yeah, I understand that growing up in Jamaica, too, as a young kid in Jamaica, I did the same. I remember when I was a child, I used to climb the mango trees all the time to get my dad mango until I fell off a tree and broke my arm. And after that,
hey, you know what? You know, speaking on the mango tree, you know, that's how I bust my head open. Throwing rocks at the mango tree when I was small, trying to get the mangoes down. So I got a permanent bust right here in my head from messing with the mango trees.
Yeah, that could bring back memories, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, it does.
Yes, sir. So from La Plaine, Dominica, right? Once you arrived to the United States, how was it like the first time? Like the very first time you actually went on an airplane. Were you afraid? Were you scared? The first time you flew?
I was very excited. You know, when I first came to the States, I can remember how tall the buildings was, and they was like super big because, you know, I was still a young boy, you know. And coming there, I had lost one of my penny loafers, so I only had one penny loafer on my foot, and I'm walking through the airport, and I'm just looking at everything, and everything just seemed so big to me. It was different.
Okay. Where did you land in the States? Where did you end up at when you first got to the States?
Oh, Yonkers, New York.
Yonkers, New York? So tell the audience, right? Because, you know, I've been in New York a few times, but where is exactly Yonkers at? Like close to like upstate of Manhattan and those type of places?
Yonkers is like, I think it's like closer to the Bronx area. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
It's been a while since I've been back home, but I think it's closer to the Bronx area, like north side, you know, towards the north.
Got you. So yeah. Compared, living in New York compared to your homeland, right? How was the difference?
The difference was, like, you know, I was more around like buildings and a lot of cars. You know, like being back home in the island is like you around, you know, your plants. It's tropical, and my, you know, me experiencing snow and seeing it is like it was something different to me. And, you know, a lot of cars and going to the bakery. My mom used to send me to the bakery. We're like literally right down the street from us. She sent us to the bakery to go get fresh bread every morning. And we walked to school.
So fresh bread in Dominica, right?
No, this was in Yonkers when I came to Yonkers.
Oh, fresh bread? What?
Yes. They had a bakery store, like, literally right down the street where we stayed at. We stayed on top of the hill, and down at the bottom of the hill it was a bakery store right there. So, you know, we used to get fresh bread from there.
Wow. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes I, like, went and watched a little TV, and I seen some of these stars on TV, man, like some of these talk shows. And they all talk about how great the food is in New York. Is that true? The food is really good in New York, or what?
Hey, you know, the food. I love the pizza now. I love the pizza from New York. The pizza. I never forget the pizza. Like, hey, the pizza is amazing. You feel me? A lot of people talk about deep dish pizza. Now I like that flat pizza with the big slices.
Gotcha. Yeah. I understand that. So what is a culture shock, though? Right from up in Dominica. To Yonkers, New York. So, how would it feel like when it comes to like the kids here in New York versus Dominica, right? Was it like a culture shock? The weather, everything.
Yeah, everything. Like, I ain't really understood it too much. Like, like when I used to go to school, I ain't really understand the schooling too much. I ain't really picked up on it like when I first came here. So, you know, I got held back, and when I first came to school.
Okay.
Yeah, because I didn't really understand the teaching of it.
Gotcha. Yeah, understand. That was same for me too. It took me a little minute to get used to when I first came to the States when I was younger. I understand that. Yeah. Once you got being here in New York in the States and you living at home with your mom, how did your mom raise you, and what kind of values did she instill in you?
Like my mother. My mother raised me to be a stand-up person. You feel what I'm saying?
Okay.
Always believe in what you believe in. Like, she always taught me to believe in God. You know what I'm saying? Okay. I always give God his praise. No matter what you're doing, you got to give him his praise. And he gonna make opportunities for you no matter what. And she told me to always believe in what I believe in. If you believe in, you could be a farmer. Then you could be that great farmer. If you want to be the milkman, then you could be that great milkman. So she told me, believe in myself and trust in God, and always stand for injustice. You know what I'm saying? Stand up for people no matter what. You know what I'm talking about? She said, you got a good heart. God gave you a gift, so use your gift.
Got you.
Yeah.
And so with that being like instilled in you, right? So you took that to heart as you was getting older, right? About
yeah,
values and stuff that she instilled in you, right? Good,
yes, sir. Man.
Okay, so can you tell me about your siblings? How many brothers and sisters do you have? And tell me your relationship with them growing up.
Let me see. I got an older sister. Relationship is amazing. She helped raise us a lot. You feel me? Like, okay. You know, when my mom used to go to work, she used to babysit us and stuff. You know. And, you know, I remember she used to give us the candies and everything out the store, you know. Yeah. And like my older sister raised us. I got another brother, you know, he's still back home in the island, but I got a baby brother too that, you know, he always used to be everywhere I go. Like me and him was like hip to hip everywhere we went, even though he was younger than me, he was always right there with me. You know, that's like my best friend. And I got then my baby sister, she was born in New York, you feel me?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, she's doing real good for herself, and all of us was real close. Like to the day, we're still close. You know, family is everything. My mama always told us, she said, your family is everything. Respect your brothers and sisters. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
When they will always be there, no matter if you're messing up, they will be there for you, correct you when you're wrong. Your family is everything. So we believe in family.
Yeah, that's true, though. You're absolutely right, though, about family, because I'm the same way, too. When it comes to my family, I don't play that, man. I got to make sure my family's good. If the family's good, along the family's good, that means you good. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yes, sir.
So I get it, man. Yeah. I understand. You know what I mean? And that thing about, like, with us as Islanders, that's how we were, I guess. I mean, a lot of people, but I guess that's how a lot of us were raised, too, about when it comes to family and how close, you know what I'm saying, close-knit family we could be. We could have. I get it. So so with your sibling, right? So if you don't mind, we're gonna get in a little hard conversation right now, okay?
Okay.
So tell me about your father, right? Tell me about your father and what the father at home?
My father, my real father, you know, he still stay in the island, and I had a stepfather that was my sister's father, you know.
Okay.
And then. He was in the army and stuff, you feel me? And, you know, I
found him. Stepfather, okay.
Yeah, that's my stepfather. But my real father, you know, he still stayed back home in the island. And I finally met him for the first time. You know, I always heard stories about him, how he was, who he was, and, you know. But, you know, I don't have nothing against him if I don't see him 2-3 years later now. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, hey, I still love you. I don't have nothing against you. It's okay with me.
Got you. So, okay. So the first time that you met your real father, right?
Mm-hmm.
Were you nervous or how did that make you feel the very first time you met him? Like, okay, I'm going to meet my father right now. You know what I mean?
The very first time I met my father, my sister and my mother had went back home to the islands. They had to take care of some little business and stuff. Mm-hmm. And she, my sister called me on a video and she like, hey, I got your father right here. So I'm like, oh, okay. I'm like, hey, how you doing? I asked him how he was doing. I'm like, how's your day going? And I just told him, I said, hey, man, I love you, brother. You feel me? I said, is anything you need? Do you need clothes, water, food, whatever? Like,
right.
Yeah, it's because just me meeting him, I seen another part of me that I never got a chance to see, you know?
Got you.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. And I want to build. From right there, I didn't want to build on nothing from the past or nothing negative. Let's build something right here. Let's make this foundation right here solid, so me and you could build on something better right now. And that's how I looked at it.
Okay, and I know we probably talked about it briefly earlier, but like today, right? I know here between the States and Dominica, it's kind of hard to really keep in contact with family sometimes. Yeah. But if you don't mind asking, when was the last time you actually spoke with your dad, your real father?
I haven't spoke to him in a while. That's when I told you when I seen him on the video and I talked to him then. You feel me? It's been it's been probably like a year now since the last time I talked to him.
Gotcha. I understand that, man. So I know you also spoke on this briefly, but tell me about your stepdad, though. What kind of role, if any, the actual play in your life as a young man growing up, you know what I mean? Because no matter what, I do believe as a young boy, right?
Mm-hmm.
You need the father figure in their life to really train them and teach them how to become a man. So how was your stepdad in your life growing up?
Well, my stepdad, he was all right when he wanted to be. You feel me?
Okay.
Like, you know, he had his ways I ain't really agree of, but that was his ways. You know, he played basketball a lot and you know, he was in the army and, you know, he know how to do a lot of engineering and all that stuff. And, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, I ain't really take on to that. I just like to, you know, when he was home, I go out in the yard and go play soccer or something, or football, you know?
Gotcha, but,
when I got in trouble, you know, he was there. You know, he did support me when I got in trouble. You know, he was there. And, you know, he told me about hanging with certain people and stuff. You know, he did give it advice on that. But, you know, at my age, at that time, I'm just like, hey, you know what? I want to do what I want to do.
I understand that, man. Okay, so going back a little bit, right, when you was young. So how was school in America, right, compared to Dominica?
The school was very different. Like when I first started going to school, you know what I'm saying, at an early age, I'm just going to be straight, blunt, straight, real. Like, the teachers told me, hey, you ain't even supposed to be here. Well, what you doing in this country? You're not supposed to be here. It's like they didn't want me there. It's like, and I looked at it like, what? You feel me? I'm like, why would you say something to this to a young person at an early age like this, saying you're not even supposed to be here in this country? Don't get out of here. You know, I'm like,
wow.
You know what I'm saying? And experiencing that type of stuff, you know, it puts something on your heart, but you keep pushing. But it also makes something mental in your mind, saying that, okay, I see what it is, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I know with those teachers, right? So how did that, I know that it made you feel but made you feel really hurt inside. So how did it impact, your classroom, your grades and all that, when those teachers were talking to you like that?
Well, you know, I still did my work and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But off top, you know, off then, you know, I just looked at him like, this is a person I can't be trusted. You know, you can't trust me. At an early age, you just be like, okay, yeah, I know it. You know what I'm saying? You gotta watch what you say around them. And seeing them, how they treat the American students to where they treated me and to other people, like, nah, I didn't. That's not fair, you know?
Gotcha. Yeah. So now, going up a little bit. So was there any, without getting into like too much details right now, we got a lot to cover. Was there a particular moment or environment that you feel led you down the wrong path?
Well, you know, I don't, just to be honest, I don't really have no regrets on anything because it made me who I am today. Like, if I could do it all over, I wouldn't change nothing because it made me who I am today. I had to go through that process. I had to go through that, through the furnace. I had to become who I am, because if I didn't go through that process right now, I wouldn't be talking to you right now. So for so I don't have no regrets on it, you know?
Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right, now we're gonna go into some deeper questions. This is gonna be kind of some harder questions, okay?
Yeah.
When you were 16, I know when we spoke about it, you said you was jailed at the age of 16. At the time, can you please tell me what happened?
Yeah, I went to prison. They locked me up. I went to prison. They charged me as an adult
in the state of Georgia. In Georgia,
they charged me an adult. I got in an altercation with, you know, two guys, and they came up on me, and I had a gun. Yeah, I shot the two guys. They were much older than me at that time, but they, you know, they told on me. I got 10 years for that.
You got 10 years? At age 16? Yeah, 10
years. Age 16, they tried me as an adult.
So what would, if you don't mind talking about it, I know it kind of bring back kind of rough memories though, but what would the exact charge and stuff like that?
Oh, I had two counts of aggravated assault.
Aggravated assault, and they gave you 10 years at 16 years. For a 16-year-old child. You know, for a 16-year-old child. For aggravated assault.
Yeah. So when I went to prison,
yeah,
it's people in here, like the youngest person I met in that place, he was like, what, 13 years old. You feel what I'm saying? And they tried him. Yeah, they tried him as an adult, man. You know what I'm saying?
Seeing all these.
Yeah. You had a lot of young dudes in there tried as an adult. And the oldest dude was probably like 26 at that time. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, I want, man, that place was, whew.
Wow. Yeah. I'm gonna ask you the name of it, but I won't ask you that. I won't ask you. So how old were you when you actually got released?
I was like 21 years old. I made parole. You know, okay. They gave me, I was 21 when I came home.
Right.
Yeah.
And then what led you back? What circumstances actually led you back there again?
What led me back is that, you know, I came home and, like, basically all the work I ever did was in prison. Like, then when I come home, I'm like, okay, work? What is work? You know what I'm saying? Out here, I came back home. I'm just used to my mentality. I couldn't even really adjust to it being back home at the time. It's like, it was, everything was different. I took everything real serious. If somebody said something to me, I took it real serious, because everything had to be real serious. And I wasn't, when I came home, I wasn't like conditioned to coming back home. And, you know, I tried to work a couple jobs and stuff, And, you know, if the boss man said something to me out the way that I felt like wasn't real right, that he said to me something downgraded, I'll check him or you know, I'll put my hands on him because I didn't tolerate disrespect from being in that place so long. It made me like it conditioned me to be so tough. Like, what are you talking about? You know, it's zero tolerance.
Gotcha. So do you think though, man, do you think that being in jail, all right, at such a young age, I mean, when you got to add an adult, although you're 21, you're still an adult, right? Do you think that actually gave a PTSD from the
time? Yeah, it did. Huh? It did. It really messed my mind up because, you know, every time I went to sleep, I jump in my sleep or if I walk in the store and a person doesn't have like the same uniform on or whatever, it, my heart start beating because I wasn't used to being around, you know, regular people. It was like I was conditioned just to be around the folks that I was around, you know?
Gotcha.
And it gave me real bad PTSD and anxiety. It's like when a person go to war and they come home and they got that anxiety and that PTSD real bad. And a lot of people, messes up a lot of people.
Yeah, I understand that though. And then there's no kind of therapy. There was no kind of therapy in prison at all for young black men. They are for young men, period.
See, the therapy they did, and they'll throw us in a hole for about like 6 months, put us on high max, let us go in that hole for 6 months in a hot box. It'd be hot in there, no air, or it'd be cold, real cold in the wintertime and barely feeding you, you know what I'm saying? And sometimes the guards, they were so nasty and, you know what I'm saying, they would say derogatory stuff to you, you know, racist stuff to you, for you to say something back to them, and then they trying to jump on you in the cell, you know? It was very, like, that place is not a place that I don't want nobody to experience that place at an age like that, you know what I'm saying? Not even when you get older. It's like, but I think it should have been a law where you shouldn't send nobody in prison at 16, 14, 15 years old. You feel me?
Yeah, at least a grown adult prison anyway. You know what I mean? So at 16, right, so they charge an adult and they put you in an adult prison, right?
Yeah, yeah. It was an adult, basically adult prison.
Gotcha. So now, I'm sorry about that. For the third and final time, right, what led you back there the third time?
What led me back to prison again? Well, when I went back for because I got messed up with some pistols and stuff. I went out of state.
Okay.
And when I came back, I got messed up with some pistols and it got me sent back. And then, you know, violate my parole and stuff like that. You feel me? Then I finally got off parole. And, you know, Being,
I know you're young, man. I understand you're young, and sometimes, especially, sad to say though, but sometimes, as a person of color, it's really hard for, especially when you go to jail and you come back out, it's hard to really adjust. And sometimes, if you don't have the guidance, it's even harder. You know what I mean?
Right.
And then sometimes, even when you try to get a job, don't say you have a prison record, and then we try to get a decent job. It's really hard. So I understand.
Oh yeah. They still judge you to this day. If you got a record or a felony, that it's like they look down on you that you got a felony. Oh no, nah, we ain't finna hire him. But you might know how to do the work and everything, and you want to work. But they like, nah, we ain't gonna hire him. We're just gonna overlook him, or they're gonna say it's like you're doing time twice.
Yeah,
you do time already in prison, and then you come home, you do time, it's like you're doing time again. Thing. It's like you're doing time again. It's like you're being judged all over again.
I understand that, man. So now, you just saying that, right? So now, when you were behind bars, right? Between all three of them, you could summarize all three of them together. What was it like your mindset? Let's say, okay, from a 16-year-old big bishop, right? A 16-year-old bishop going in jail for the first time, and then when as a grown adult, when we went back to jail, what was your mindset? Because I know you're gonna have two different type of mindset.
Yeah, okay. So when I went back again, what was my mindset again this time?
Yeah, 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 what was the mindset the first time, right? And then what was the mindset again? Yeah.
Okay, the first time I went, you know, it's all about survival. I got to survive. You feel what I'm saying? If somebody trying me, I'm gonna stab them. If somebody, if I got a lock on me, I'm gonna hit them with a lock. If I gotta throw them over the rail, it's all about survival.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And was it like that all three times? The same way?
The same kind of thing?
Yes. Same mindset?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. It's all about survival. Because the first time you show any opening, is they gonna. It's like wolves. And I seen that plenty of times. Like I used to ask people that come in there, I'm like, hey, this is a jungle. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
What animal do you want to be? You feel me? Because this is a jungle we in. What you want to be? If you want to be a duck, then guess what? They're going to eat you like a duck. So I'm like, what do you want to be? And people be like, well, shit, I'm going to be a lion. And if you're going to be that lion, then you better be that mighty lion. You feel what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
I understand that, man. It's like that's what comes with it, and like now I'm humble now. I'm super humble now. Like,
so now, right? So from the time in prison, right? So, what did you learn during your time in prison that you didn't know before? Why have you learned?
Oh, like far as like schooling, I got a lot better with schooling when I was in there, but I didn't I had good friends in there. Trust me now. I had some good friends in there that, you know, that was real good with school. And, you know, I used to sit down and talk to them and learn. And then, you know, I used to learn about I learned about the revolution a lot more. You know what I'm saying? I studied about Huey and I studied the Panthers and I studied the 5%ers. I did a lot of studying. So it was like my mind just was just opened up more and more and more. You know what I'm saying? I studied what certain words meant. And what they calling you is derogatory or I studied it like, hey, I'm a man and you're gonna respect me as a man. I'm gonna give you your respect, but you got to give me mine too. You feel me? And I also told myself never look down. I always look a man in the eye. You feel what I'm saying? Because guess what? And because they try to treat you like some slave stuff. Like, oh, what you doing looking me in my eye? You better say sir, yes sir. Nah, I'm gonna address you by your name. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like they try to put that in your mind to, oh, you better look down. Yeah.
Okay.
Hold on.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, hello?
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a phone call coming in. I just got down to decline it. Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. So let me ask you this, right? So now, if you could go back and talk to your 15-year-old self, what would you say to a young bishop right now at your age? How old are you right now? How old are you?
I'm 41. I'm 41 now. If I could go back
and talk to 15-year-old self, what would you tell that young bishop?
Man, what I would have told him back then was, hey, listen, the path you're going down, it's gonna cause you a lot more pain than joy. You know what I'm saying? But it's two paths. It's either you can walk down the righteous path or you can follow the devil's path. You feel what I'm saying? And if you want to follow this hand right here, just know what comes with it. You know what I'm saying? But I would have talked to him like, hey, look, brother, sometimes you don't got to pick that pistol up. You feel me? Here, let me show you a better way. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you don't got to hit no street corner or you got to hustle. Let me show you a better way too. Because, you know, something you got to lead by example.
I
would talk to him to be very blunt with him and show him like, hey, this is what's going to happen. They're not going to tell you, hey, okay, you pick this up and you start moving this right here that you're gonna get 30, 40 years. You feel me? If you rob this man right here, oh man, they're gonna give you 20, 30 years. Yeah, they're gonna try to baptize you. You know what I'm saying? At a young age. And I would be very blunt and tell them that. Because a lot of people don't tell them. They just tell them like, hey, all right, look, we finna go do this, yada, 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 and we're going to get away and do this. No, what comes with it too now?
Okay, so this is what you would tell your 15-year-old self, right? If that was you, to say, and you'd be like a little more like aggressive and talk to the person, to yourself. Say, look, if you do this, this could happen, right?
Yeah.
Like that. Gotcha.
Yeah, because so now, you know it.
Go ahead.
Nah, because now, you know, sometimes, you know, when I get in my mode, I look in the mirror and I talk to myself, too. I had that reflection. Okay. I look at that reflection and be like, okay, you know what? I want to be the best version of myself. So I sit down and talk to myself like, hey, you know what? It's not over with, man. Yeah.
Gotcha. So now, what were some of the hardest things about coming out, right, and adjusting back to society? What was hard about it? Was it like getting a job? Even meeting women? Yeah. You saying with the heart, even meeting girls and stuff like that, man.
Getting a job was hard at first because it's like I put in for a job and I put in for it and nobody will call me and I'll get frustrated. You know what I'm saying? And or just like being around a lot of people. I didn't really like being around a lot of people. I just like to be to myself. If I had a couple friends, then with my couple friends right there. You feel what I'm saying? Like, I didn't really like going to the clubs or partying as much because I felt congested in there. So it made me want more isolated amongst. If even when I work now, I work with just me and a couple few friends. Mm-hmm. And I do my best work. You know what I'm saying? But you know, I'm very open up now. Now I'm just like, hey, how you doing?
I know, man. That's how we met. Instead of barbershop, we just talking. You know what I mean? Cause, yeah. And the thing about it, like, especially with Angelite, we like with dudes and stuff like that. I don't normally like say, okay, I'm gonna give my number to this person. But you just seem like a cool, good like my vibe. Just catch you when I first met you, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It seemed like, to me, you just seem like a good guy, like a good person, man. You know what I mean?
Man, listen, brother, man. I just want to see us. I just want to see us win.
Yeah,
I want to see us win. Like, I want to see people win. I want to see them come up. I want to see them be the greatest, the best version of themselves. Because, you know, like, I turn on the TV, and I've seen for so many years brothers and sisters dying by the police and people losing their family, people getting deported. And it's like, you see so much, and it hurts me. And it hurts me. And like, you know, when I go,
hold on. Hello? Uh-oh. We probably lost him. Bishop?
You got me?
Yeah. I can hear you.
Hello?
Can you hear me? Okay.
Yeah, I can hear you, man. My sister, she was at the airport. She about to go back and see her daughter and stuff. So she like, why would you feel me?
Okay, so where's she in Georgia or is she in New York?
Nah, she in Georgia right now. She finna go to she gotta go to Texas to go see her daughter. And you know, she gotta go see her grandkids and stuff. So she was telling me she finna get on the plane. That's just how my family is. If we don't talk no more, you're gonna hear, hey, I got on the plane. If that's the last time I talk to you, you feel me?
Yeah, that's how me and my family we are too, man. We talk to each other. Hey, we both go to town, all the good stuff. You know what I mean? So I get it, man. Yeah. So let me ask you this. So what are your goals in life right now,
Bishop? What are my goals in life?
Yes,
I got a lot of goals. Okay. You know what I'm saying? Talk to me. My goals, like right now, you know, like I love to cook, and my passion is cooking. Hands down, I'm a great chef. You feel what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But one of my goals is that burns me up on the inside is that I want to go back to the streets.
Okay, explain that. I said people gonna take that differently when you say it like that. So explain what do you mean?
Oh, see, I want to go back to where, you know, I see so many young people, I see older people, and I see people suffering and struggling. And I want to talk to them, and I want to feed them. You know what I'm saying? I want to feed them. I want to be there for them. I want to pray with them. You know what I'm saying? Let them know that, hey, if you don't remember nothing else I say today, that you see me and I pray with you today, and I fed with you the same way Jesus and all his disciples used to walk. And they walk up on people and they talk to them and they pray with them. And, you know, I want to see a community be better. That I want to give back to the community. I want everybody to give a lot back. and just reach out to the people. Like, you know, I look on TV and I see in LA, like, how they got so many homeless people living on the streets, like, in tents and all that, you know? And it hurts my heart.
Yeah, yeah, very sad. I've been seeing it on the news a lot, too, man. About a lot of homeless, not only in LA, even in New York, too. There's a lot of homeless that play. And I'm telling you right now, even like with me, I work for for mental health hospital. And sometimes, every now and then, we get like a homeless, especially when it's cold outside, we get like a homeless patient that come in there, you know, and not because of something wrong with them mentally, but sometimes they just want to be off the street for a couple of days.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just want to
let them know, man, we still love y'all, man. We here, man. Like, you know what I'm saying? Just talk to the people. Because, you know, a lot of people don't go out there and talk to them. They don't ask them, like, hey, what happened? How did this? How can we help you and fix this? Like, any little opening, how can I help? Because I want to help. I want to help. And if this platform helped me to where I can help people, hey, I'm all with it.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I think it will too, man. I think your blessings, you bless your blessed man right now, and more blessings, trust me, will follow you. I guarantee that. It's coming.
Yes, sir.
It's coming.
Yes, sir. thank you for that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So, what do you want young people, especially those growing up in tough environments, right, to learn from your journey? What do you want them to learn?
You know, so crazy is that it's like society telling them they all got to be one way. Mm-hmm. Or I got to pick this up and I got to shoot you down, my brother. I got to kill you, or I got to let you know I'm the toughest one or whatever. It's like, and then when you look at it, man, I done killed you, or you done killed me. Mm-hmm. And now a mother, she's crying. A brother, he's dead. A sister's crying. And then you could have, and I killed you for nothing. And when you sit back, and if I get caught for killing you, now I'm doing a whole life sentence, and I sit back like, man, why did I have to kill this man for real? What for? What did it really come down to? Why couldn't I sit down and say, hey, let's talk about this, man?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's talk about it, because I'm not your enemy. And the thing about it is that it's like everybody, when we see each other, it's like, oh, I got to, he might, oh, you're not my enemy. You're not my enemy. For years, you, like, and even in prisons, like, man, another man will come try to stab me. Like, what you gonna stab me for? I'm not the one oppressing you. I'm not the one oppressing you. You feel me? It's like it's not even that bad. Sit down and think about it. Let's use our mind. This is what our mind was here for. You feel me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sometimes it don't hurt to get on your knees and talk to God. Be like, God, I need you.
Yeah.
Like, I need you. You feel me? But a lot of people, they condition their mind, their heart, where they don't even want to open up to them and reach out to them. Yeah.
I understand that. So with you saying all the great stuff that you just said, right? So if you had an opportunity right now, so you know what though? Somebody going to invest the time in you. How would you like go about trying to help the young folks out there to go on the right path?
You know what? If I could open up a big brother school for them, open up a school for them and let them come there. You feel what I'm saying? Guess what? If you want to be a gardener, I'll show you how to be a gardener. If you want to be a boxer in there, we have a box. If you want to be a musician, you could be. Guess what? Be who you want to be. You feel what I'm saying? And be proud of who you are. You feel what I'm saying? If you want to do science and you good at science and you thinking that, you pressure like, oh man, that's not lame. That's actually a great thing. You good at science. It's actually a great thing. You know how to cook. It's actually a great thing. You know how to garden. You feel what I'm saying? Be that. Be that. Don't let society or the devil rob you of your gifts that God gave you. You feel me? Be that, man. Be proud of it.
I agree.
If you want to be a book. You don't be a book writer, be the best book writer. You know what I'm saying? Be that.
Yeah. I agree with that. Even with me, I have some ideas too. Like if I had the money, you know, I'll even do like an after school program for the young kids to teach them stuff like just like you said, science, you know what I mean? Culinary, You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And a little, I like the basic stuff that just to get them off the streets, though, man. Because I do believe we are missing that. Because even right now, when I was a young child, I remember going to the Boys and Girls Club. I haven't seen that in a long time.
Man, I remember that, too. I used to run track. You feel me?
Yeah.
I used to run track. I used to run so much. And running was like, man, when I ran, and it's like, I ain't think about nothing. All I seen was victory. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's all I seen.
Gotcha.
That was my outlet, you know?
Yeah. I understand that.
Yeah.
So now, okay, if you can leave one message, right, a message for kids who feel like they're heading in the wrong path, right, direction, the wrong direction, what would be what would that message be like if a young child come to you right now and said, Bishop, man, I'm feeling sad, I'm depressed, my life ain't going right, my mama is doing this, my dad is doing that, I don't know what to do, I feel like ending it right now. What should I do, Bishop?
Stop. You know what I'll do with him? I'll hold him. I'll tell him it's gonna be all right. I'm gonna pray with him. I'm gonna pray with him, and then I'm gonna tell him, like, hey, you know what? If you want to come here every day and talk to me about what's going on, you're more than welcome. My door is open for you. My door is open for you. Now, guess what? Then I'll be like, you know what? I know a good friend. You feel what I'm saying? He's a counselor. I met him and he write books. And guess what? I said, I can introduce you to him. You feel somebody? I said, but guess what? We're here for you. And I'm going to let you know that we're here for you. We're not going to run away from you. Bring your troubles because that's what we're here for. I suck your troubles up like a sponge. You feel me? Yeah. Because guess what? You're a star. And even though you're going through your battle right now, it's not gonna last forever. It's not gonna last forever. Yeah. And I will let him know every day. I will speak greatness into him. I will speak greatness into him every single day until you start seeing him. Why, you know how you take the filter in a coffee?
Yeah.
And I will keep pouring greatness into him every day. I'll pour it into him until it gets so clear, like this water right here, that he ain't got no more worries. And that's what my mission was supposed to do, then that's my mission.
Gotcha, yeah. You know, I really believe that's really, really great, man. Because like I said, right, the young children, right, a lot of them need that guidance all life. You know, I don't know if you've been watching the news when I'm seeing some rapper I've never heard of getting murdered or getting shot. You know what I mean?
Yeah, getting killed.
By the hand of another man, by the hand of another black man, and they're just killing each other all over the country.
Yeah, and it hurts. It hurts to see that. Mm. It hurts to see that because I'm like, man. You know what I'm saying? Because you could have been so much greater. It's like they want us to kill each other or something. Like, go ahead. You feel me? Like, no, it's not like, you know. And we're already got enough oppression on us as it is.
I know. You know, because you know, it just breaks my heart when I hear about these young kids, man, having guns in their hands, you know what I mean? And just like my cousin, I'll never forget, September 11th, 2023, 16 years old, got murdered by a 17-year-old kid.
Oh, man.
You know what I'm saying? 16. And she wanted to play for the WNBA. That was her goal. She was on high school basketball team. And when I saw her teammates and her coach there, they all came to. I mean, at her funeral, they all came. Yeah. All of them came out just to, you know what I'm saying, show support for the family members, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that, it was so sad. I lose young girl, 16 years old, man.
Yeah, you know, my wife, she lost one of her nephews like that, and I met him when I first met him. You feel what I'm saying? I met when I first met him. He a little short, chubby dude. Then when I seen him again, he a little older now, you know, but you know, he lost his life at a young age, and it hurt my heart because, you know, I remember I used to sit on the porch and listen to music with him. We used to sit there and eat food and all that, you know. Whenever I used to go back to Alabama, you know, I'm like, man, but you know, when I go back now, it's like I don't see him no more because, you know, he's not there no more. And even though I don't really say too much about it, but I could feel it in my heart. And I like a lot of times, you know, I cry with inside of me.
Gotcha.
You know what I'm saying? And I'd be like, damn, man. Like, and you hear about, hey, this person that got killed, or like Alabama, these people getting killed up there, and it's
it's really sad, man. It really breaks your heart, though. You know what I mean?
It does. It hurts me bad. It's like when the little boy got drowned. When they drowned that little boy the young man, when they drowned him in Jessup, you know, they drowned him in the police and them act like it wasn't no foul play, like, but they knew it was foul play, but they were trying to cover it up. And this, how a young man gonna just drown? He was scared of water, you know. They try to cover it up. You feel me? He was a black man. He's just a little young boy. He was black.
How old was he? I don't know if I heard this story before. When was that?
That was in Jessup, you know. It was last year, some change. They were rallying about it, but they killed them. Them two little young white boys. They drowned him, and they had like they trying to say it was. Oh no, he went there by no. Even the police, they were trying to cover it up. No, and them people was not going for it because they stood their ground and kept pushing it. Like no, it's something more into this. You feel me?
Gotcha.
Then a mother knows their son. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like, yeah. You know, it hurt because, you know, he was only what 8 years old? He was eight or 12 years old. He was young.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. He was still a baby, man. Like, come on, man.
Yeah, yeah. That's so sad to me, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's why, like I always say, we must look out for each other, man. We have to stick together.
Mm-hmm. We have to come together. Like it's no, I'm against you, you against me. No, it's not. It's none of that. We have to come together as men and women have to come together. You feel me? Because our younger generation needs us even a lot more. We the older ones now. So mm-hmm. We have to protect them. We have to protect because it's going to come a time where it's getting crazy now.
Exactly. And you know what I was thinking, right? Because you're from the millennial generation. Because you're born in 81, right? 81?
Yeah, I was born 83.
Oh, 83, right? So you're from the millennial. I'm from Gen X, right?
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
And matter of fact, I was just thinking about this the other day. And you know, I was like, you know what, though? We as, I call myself an OG, right? I would call old school.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you're a big homie.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So I would say, you know what? We had like the OGs. We gotta teach the younger generations. It's our job. Sometimes they might not listen to us, right? But at least we're there and we teach them and it's up to them if they really want to heed what we say to them. You know what I mean?
Because that system don't care nothing about you, but they're gonna throw you in there, give you 1,000 years, and don't even care.
You're right. I watched some online the other day. This young kid. I don't know if it was 16, 17. The judge gave him, like, I don't know, 40 something, like a lot of time. And the only time I can see when a guy was crying for his mama.
Yeah.
Because he killed another young boy. You know what I'm saying? He was 16 too. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
And they gave him
life or something. Yeah.
They're not giving all of us people life. They're giving only black folks life.
Yeah.
They only give black folks all that time.
I know.
I'm telling you now.
Yeah, I know.
So trust me, man.
I know, cause just like during the happened the crack epidemic back in the 80s, right? Same thing with crack and Paul DeCore. It's in my book, The Black Godmother, where I actually talked about that too. How you don't say a black person catch with the same amount of crack cocaine, we get more time than versus a white person who got caught with Paul DeCore.
Yeah, we get more time on anything we do. We get more time on whatever it is. Anything they say, we get more time. It's like they create 3-4 doors for us to go through. Everything is like bam, 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 bam. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It is. And some people act like they don't see it, but not. It's reality.
I understand it though, man. I understand. Yeah. You know what I mean? Hey, Bishop, I'm going to tell you something right now.
Yes, sir.
I had a great conversation with you today, man.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Trust me, this was very great, man. And I'm telling you, and this won't be the last time.
Okay.
We're going to figure something out, man. And I believe our vibe together, I believe we can actually do something together.
Hey, don't forget about our other brother we got now. We got to do, you feel me?
I got you, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm going to go around there. I got to go around there in a minute and holler at him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Hey, talk to him, man. Hey, I'll let him know, man. I'm going to interview him next soon.
You know I told him, he ready too now.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. I'm going to interview him soon, though, man, because all y'all got some great stories, man, that I think the world needs to know.
I wish I could say a lot more like I want to, but you know how it is. You know,
man, I understand.
When we get there, we're gonna keep it. I can't give them all at one time.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? Yeah, your story could be like a damn book. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know it.
I'm very serious about that for real.
You know? Yeah.
So, man, I really appreciate you, man, coming on the show. Okay.
Yes, sir. Thank
you so much for really giving me the time. You know what I mean? For me to ask you these questions. All right, and then I'm gonna give a call later on,
Mary. Hey, I actually thank you too, because you know what? If I didn't meet you that day, mm-hmm. that day I was doing something good, but I also was doing a negative at that same time. You feel me? But that negative also turned into a positive sitting right here talking to you. So, and we got a chance to build, and we now I'm because I've been wanting to do this right here, get on like mm-hmm. on a podcast or a talk like this, I've been wanting to do it, but I didn't know how to do it.
Gotcha.
And I've been asking God about it. And boom, you're right here. So that's what I'm saying. You're a blessing, my brother. Yes, you're a blessing. So
much, man. Hey, God answer prayer. I'm a firm believer in that. Trust me.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. And I thank you, man.
I'm excited. Thank you. Yeah. God bless you.
Yes, sir. You too. And I'll take
care of yourself. Okay, give me a call later on, brother.
I got you, man.
All right.
And
all right, bro.
Audience, I appreciate it, man. Thank you so much for tuning in to Common Ground. Until next time, keep the conversation going.
You're tuned in to Common Ground with Valentine Harris, only on LA Talk Radio.